The WordPress blogging platform is immensely popular for how easy it is to deploy and teach yourself PHP while messing around with its open source innards. Its slogan is simply, "Code is art." Now, what you're listening to in the background is another kind of art made with code. The programming language Processing manipulates light and sound based on user-specified algorithms, such as the ones University of Vermont professor Robert Snapp wrote to randomize the notes you're currently hearing. The Processing language is open source and uses the instant gratification of digital media to get users hooked on coding. And it's the subject of this episode of the 21st Century Classroom, a podcast of the Tarrant Institute for Innovative Education. Now, Danville, Vermont-based educator Karen Buddha usually teaches Latin, but this summer she worked at Tarrant Code Camp, helping middle grade students learn processing. Here's how it all went down.
Every day of the week, he's picked a different artist. So the first day he had Kandinsky, and so the kids all made shapes. Well, basically what we're doing is we're using the processing.org script to make sketches. And so basically the kids looked at Kandinsky as an artist and reproduced what he had done on his canvases on the computer. So they made shapes and lines and things like that. And then that day was also our two-dimensional day. So we didn't go beyond two-dimensional on that day. The second day we did Vesarelli. So we did a lot of movement of the shapes now. And so we're moving a little bit into compression and flattened boxes and like staircase kind of looking things. And then the third day we did M.C. Escher. And that was when Robert did the 3D component to the program. So the kids were then learning how to spin triangles and rotate things. And today, we did Andy Warhol. So the students were learning how to capture images off the computer, how to take those images and then create some type of a pop art with them manipulating, by the way, the colors within the program so that they would go to, you know, primaries or secondaries. And so the kids were really getting a chance to explore many aspects of the program, but also within the idea of what is art and how can the computer make an art. So it's been very exciting. We were using the processing language, and so the kids have to put in, like one kid today, he said, "I'm up to 144 lines of code." And I said, "Oh, congratulations." And so, I mean, you know, that just, there's hours of work that goes into these projects. And I think, you know, if nothing else, they suddenly, students, the kids are now realizing the dedication that has been put into writing the code. And just to be able, you know, like we were just talking about, if you make one single mistake, you're not running. So you have to go down and look at your error line and say, uh-oh, where did I miss something? And even a semicolon will hold you back. So it's pretty exciting. And it's really neat to watch them using digital tools they're academic tools, because coordinates on a computer are very different than the way we teach graphing in schools. So instead of an XY coordinate that starts, you know, in the middle, the computer starts 0, 0 at the top. And so for a minute, the kids have to rethink what but then, you know, they can easily grasp the concept because that's eighth grade math, right? I mean, I'm not a math teacher, but anyway, so they can then pick themselves back up. So it's, you know, it's like last year when we were doing Mad Libs and one of the kids turned to me and said, "What's an adverb?" I mean, he didn't need to know what an adverb was until that moment when he was writing his Mad Lib, and suddenly he needed to have, what's an adverb, you know? So I don't know, it's just that using of the academic lessons to make that artifact using programming. So it's like a triangle that all comes symmetrically together.
But processing isn't just for students. Craig Winslow is a Burlington-based digital artist and Champlain College adjunct faculty member who has very strong feelings about the best way to explode a human skull.
While I was at JDK, I did a higher ground poster for when Base Nectar came to town like 2 years ago or 3 years ago. And it wasn't necessarily using code, but this was one of the first projects where I used a 3D program to model like a head, and then I used the simulations in the program to blow it apart. So I had this sort of shattered, faceted head, and then from that, I modified it a little bit and moved things around aesthetically, but if I were to try and draw like a head that was exploding or something, or make something in Illustrator like that, it would take a lot longer time-wise, but also just wouldn't look as natural as if you, you know, set a force on something and use physics and a program to like blow it apart naturally.
Along with his partner, Justin Kuzma, Winslow designs and builds art installations that respond to user actions. He's built a tree that grows when you wave at it. He's built sneakers that change color as you watch. And he's built a pyramid that wants you to wave at it. All of those were built with the processing language.
My interest was actually in like video gaming, and I really loved sort of creating these digital 3D worlds that you can get lost in and explore, and these environments and stuff. And then the industrial design came as like a surprise to me because it was very real world, and I enjoyed it a lot. And I think the change happened when I saw all this projection mapping stuff, you know, in Europe and what people are doing, you know, around the States and stuff, that are these big buildings and make, you know, with light changing how the building looks, for example. And part of what I set out to do was, one, I didn't have a big building. I didn't have these thousands of dollars for projectors and stuff. So I started out really small. So around last, I don't know, it was like March, maybe last year before that, I started doing these little tests in the studio. And, you know, everyone at JDK would be like, oh, cool, this little thing. And I'd set up, you know, these triangles on the wall, and I'd map, you know, to that and just see, like, what software and stuff I could get into. So it was a slow transition of kind of teaching myself how to not only design something physically interesting in a space using the industrial design knowledge, but then augment it with projected light.
Winslow's projects meld traditional design techniques with the interactive power of digital technologies to create a user-centered public art experience. His pieces augment public spaces by bringing a new dimension to known landscapes.
I'm still trying to figure a good name for it, but it's basically like objects on a wall that you can have different artists create art for, and so it's more of like a physical and digital gallery of a sense, and then everything, you know, it would change day to day and never be the same and archived online. So it kind of plays off that, the temporary sort of feeling of a lot of digital art. And so I'm really interested to kind of pursue that. But we're also talking with the Flint Theater here. We've gone through a few different rounds, and we're close on working on some new signage and some installations for their new box office that they're really excited about. Specifically in the theater where, you know, a lot of people, I feel like, think the theater is kind of, or a lot of younger people think the theater is, you know, it's not as, like, prevalent or as, you know, like, some people are, like, I feel like it needs to be freshened up. Like, one of my, when I was in college, I actually worked at a theater, Dunkwood Playhouse, and I was doing, like, their marketing and, like, you know, graphic design and posters and all sorts of stuff with them. So it's funny to, again, come full circle on something where I'm back kind of in that, working with a theater to try and reimagine, you know, they have this giant old marquee, and I feel like they think it's, you know, kind of coming off as a dinosaur, but, like, it's like this gorgeous giant, you know, marquee. How do you accent that with new technology that doesn't, like, fight it? You know, like, there's a delicate balance between something that's overtly obnoxious and something that's, like, a new take on neon, for example, which, you know, we found some rear projection films that you can put on glass and project on glass as if it's any other surface.
For Winslow, the processing language provided an easy way for him to grow as a designer and embark on more challenging projects that pushed the envelope.
I think one thing about processing is it's really easy to dive in and to make these sort of, you know, visually make things with code, and to start things, you know, as soon as you learn the basics of, like, making objects, and then the step to, like, you can track with your mouse, is where you realize, oh man, like, this is an interactive program, or interactive in a sense, and especially if you can start to track your, you know, hand movements using the leap. You know, we're diving into the Kinect next, which we're excited about, but the, I think processing is just a basic sort of, a good way to get into creative coding without a big barrier, I think. Because there's a lot of support out there for like processing and learning processing. There's good, you know, skill shares that are out there that kind of get you through like the basics. I did a program that was just like an hour rundown, and it gets you through like, okay, here's how this works. You know, you're drawing a sketch live. You know, I think it's attainable coding wise as a designer or someone who's more scared of code in a sense. Like there's kind of this weird, when I was going through school, it's like this, you're a graphic designer and like you have this feeling like, maybe I don't need to learn code because like, I don't know, like, you know, someone else is doing the code and I'll just do the design, and you kind of like cut your worth a little bit, because if anything, it's helpful that I can like read and kind of see what's going on in the code that Justin's focusing on 100%.
Learning to code has become a fundamental 21st century skill, but what a lot of educators are struggling with is how best to tackle the subject. Let's hear from Karen Buda again.
Kids have to read. It's not, and it's writing code, but they also have to understand. They can go back into the reference materials and read what it means to have the spotlight or what it means to have the directional light. And so they can then, you know, go back to their own code and make sure that they have the needed coordinates that they need. So it's a lot of learning going on here. It's just, it blows my mind. You know, and then to the kids, you know, they're like, we have to go out for a snack or we need to take a break, because physically they just can't, they think they can do it. You know, and so they're always saying, we want more instructional time. I can't remember the last time I had a Latin student look at me and say, we need more instructional time. But, you know, I mean, that happens rather frequently during the day if we pull them away from their projects too much. But I think you're going to be amazed, all the art, you know, and then having to share. And I think that's the other thing that's so cool about coding, is just that communicating and the collaborating. You know, kids in school, you know, it's more of a competition. They don't understand, you know, it's like, I'm going to get the best grade. But here in coding, it's, I'm going to learn from you, or I'm going to share what I just did with you, because that'll help you, and then eventually you'll find something and you'll help me. I think there's a whole different conversation that happens around this type of learning that we need to bring back into the classroom. And it's not cheating. It's like stepping, it's like what, you know, Einstein said, I've stepped on the shoulders of giants. You know, when did we stop doing that and just become silos or individuals? You know, here it's like, what did you do and how did you do that?
In Professor Snap's processing sketch, brightly colored circles zoom aimlessly about within a dark box. Whenever they encounter a boundary or another circle, they sing out, each with a different note. It's a mesmerizing spectacle, kind of like an electronic fish tank, if your fish were all musical notes. Professor Snap declined to be interviewed for this podcast, but I think his art speaks for itself. A huge thank you to Karen Buda, Craig Winslow, and Justin Kuzma for their help both with CodeCamp and this podcast episode. I'm Audrey, and this has been an episode of the 21st Century Classroom, a podcast of the Tarrant Institute for Innovative Education. Professor Snap, take us out.